Yes, you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Sorry I wasn't able to be here Friday night. There were some questions that I would have liked to ask Bernadine Smith. However, I had unavoidable business elsewhere. And she did a wonderful job, and so did Pete. Thank you, Pete, and thank you, Bernadine, for an excellent Friday's listening. I did get to hear a part of the broadcast. Folks, on March the 11th, 1995, there will be a Forever Free America rally in, where is this? San Bernardino, California. The National Orange Show Events Center. The National Orange Show Events Center, 689, that's 689 South E Street, San Bernardino, California. Admission is $10 in advance and $15 at the door. And this is sponsored by the, the Refounding Amendment Association, I guess. So I'll be there speaking that day. And I hope to see as many of you as possible turn out. I'd like to shake your hand and say hello. I'll be there the whole day. I'll only be speaking for about 45 minutes, so I'll have plenty of time to talk to you if you get a chance to drop by. We will have a table there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where. That's March the 11th, 1995, the Forever Free America Rally at the National Orange Show Events Center, 689 South E Street, San Bernardino, California. And there's a phone that you can call for information, and that is 602-204-2386. That's 602-204-2386. So, hope to see as many of you as possible there. Also, folks, I'd like to remind you that there will be a Constitution Party meeting in Ferndale, Michigan. That's Ferndale, Michigan. The Constitution Party meeting, Ferndale, Michigan. The location is the Old White Church at 549 East Marshall. That's 549 East Marshall. That's the northwest corner of Hilton and Marshall. And that's east of Woodward. So it's the Old White Church, 549 East Marshall. That's on the northwest corner of Hilton and Marshall in Ferndale, Michigan. 2 p.m. February the 18th. 2 p.m. February the 18th. I will be there. I will be there to speak at this meeting. And I'd like to see as many as possible in that area and adjacent states show up, because I have some pretty important things to say. And if you'd like to call for more information, the phone number is 810-674-8094. That's 810-674-8094. Remember, it's 2 p.m., Constitution Party meeting, 549 East Marshall, northwest corner of Hilton and Marshall in Ferndale, Michigan, at the Old White Church. Phone 810 674-8094, and I will be there. Hope to see you all. Hope to see everybody. Folks, it's important. Also, for those of you who are sitting in your living room shaking like a leaf because of what you think is coming, listen to this. Now go back to Russia. At the end of December, he left his home in Siberia to try to rescue his aunt from the war in Chechnya. Abdul Vagap Chitayev, 41, director of a small construction company, never made it to its aunt's place in Grozny. Instead, he was taken prisoner by Russian soldiers during their New Year's Eve attack on the Chechen capital. Now recovering in a hospital in Malgobek, 75 miles northwest of the Chechen capital, Chitayev is pale and exhausted. The Chechen's legs had been stabbed, his ribs were broken, his lungs and kidneys were injured, and he can't walk. The soldiers told us they were trying to protect us from bombing and would soon let us go, said Chitayev. Instead, he said he was kept in the basement of a furniture shop in Grozny for 3 weeks. Random detentions and rough searches of Chechens by Russians at checkpoints occur daily, and Chechens interviewed in different parts of the breakaway republic say they have been brutally interrogated at a detention center at the Russian Army headquarters at Mozdok, about 70 miles northwest of Grozny. They said that they would kill me if they found out I spoke with journalists. Let them kill me. I would rather die and let people know about this horror, Chitayev told the Associated Press. The head of the surgery department at the Chechen hospital in Malgobek said several patients told him they had been abused by Russian soldiers in Mozdok. They are all very pale and exhausted with serious wounds, psychic disorders. They are frightened. They do not sleep and cry in their sleep, said Magomet Katsushads. Chitayev said a Russian army major stole more than $2,000 from him. Then a half hour after his release on January the 23rd, and listen to this very carefully, folks, listen to this and understand. He was arrested by troops wearing black masks, the trademark of the dreaded Oman, the special police force of the Interior Ministry. Chechens say Oman forces, who often stand guard at checkpoints with regular soldiers, appear suddenly in helicopters or in armored vehicles and arrest people and take them to Mozdok. Does that sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? Does that remind you of any recent events in the United States of America? The Interior Ministry acknowledged some Chechens have been beaten while in custody, but says any suspected incidents of serious abuse are checked. When there are complaints of suspicions of wrongdoings, a criminal investigation is ordered, or the superiors are told to conduct their own, said Alexei Petrenko, an Interior Ministry spokesman. Does that remind you of anything? Anything that happened recently in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen? Russian forces also claim the Chechens are brutal in their treatment of Russians, beheading, scalping, and sometimes disfiguring corpses. Now, lest you go off the deep end, let me assure you, folks, that the recent disclosure by the Spotlight newspaper that there were at least three contingents of United States military special forces in Chechnya helping the Russians, regardless of that revelation, I'm going to tell you something tonight that just may frost you. There are large contingents of United States military forces in Chechnya. There are so many that at some of the intersections, and if you've been watching the photographs from Chechnya lately, you have seen stop signs. American stop signs placed at the intersections so that American drivers will know when to stop. That's how many Americans are in Chechnya helping the Russians in a police action that is actually a practice for what's going to happen someday in this country when they finally reveal to the American people that the Constitution has been shredded and dumped in the trash can a long time ago, and that we are now part of a one-world totalitarian socialist order. But lest you get fearful, let me read you something from the New Mexico Courier. From the Courier, And this was on page 9A, February the 9th, 1995. The war will go on a long time, so says the commander of Russian troops in Chechnya. With the war into its sixth week, tens of thousands, now listen carefully, folks, tens of thousands of heavily armed Russian troops are locked in battle with only a few thousand lightly armed Chechen freedom fighters. The Russians do not control much of Chechnya, have lost dozens of their best tanks, thousands of casualties, and the Chechens are now targeting highly lauded Russian attack helicopters and shooting them down with small arms. The commander says that despite a huge manpower advantage, the Russian situation is difficult. The Chechens are fighting for their homes and have already told the Russians that they will go to the mountains and never stop fighting for their land. In the words of a 38-year-old Chechen woman, quote, "If the Russians drive us out of our homes, we will all go to the mountains. We will fight if necessary, women and children too. Without question, we will win," end quote. "And I tell you now, if the same thing happens in the United States of America, we will prevail." Take heart. Look what happened in Vietnam. Look what happened in Afghanistan. Look what is happening in Chechnya. Look what happened to the American forces in Somalia. And take heart. Take heart. For heart is what wins great wars. Not technology. Heart. Where there is heart, there is victory. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. Come on, hey baby, come on. Come on, let's cruise.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rogers Rangers were organized in 1756 by Major Robert Rogers, a native of New Hampshire, who recruited 9 companies of American colonists to fight for the British during the French and Indian War. Ranger techniques and methods were an inherent characteristic of the frontiersmen in the colonies. But Major Rogers was the very first to capitalize on them and incorporate them into a permanently organized fighting force. His standing orders were written in the year 1759. Even though they are over 200 years old, they apply just as well to Ranger operations conducted on today's battlefield as they did to the operations conducted by Rogers and his men. And this is the list of standing orders for Rogers Rangers. Number 1, don't forget nothing. Number 2, have your musket clean as a whistle, hatchet scoured, 60 rounds powder and ball, and be ready to march at a minute's warning. 3, when you're on the march, act the way you would if you was sneaking up on a deer. See the enemy first. 4. Tell the truth about what you see and what you do. There is an army depending on us for correct information. You can lie all you please when you tell other folks about the Rangers, but don't never lie to a Ranger or officer. 5. Don't never take a chance you don't have to. 6. When you're on the march, we march single file, far enough apart so one shot can't go through two men. 7. If we strike swamps or soft ground, we spread out abreast so it's hard to track us. 8. When we march, we keep moving till dark, so as to give the enemy the least possible chance at us. 9. When we camp, half the party stays awake while the other half sleeps. 10. If we take prisoners, we keep them separate till we have had a chance to examine them so they can't cook up a story between them. 11. Don't ever march home the same way. Take a different route so you won't get ambushed. 12. No matter whether we travel in big parties or little ones, each party has to keep a scout 20 yards ahead, 20 yards on each flank, and 20 yards in the rear, so the main body can't be surprised and wiped out. 13. Every night you'll be told where to meet if surrounded by a superior force. 14. Don't sit down to eat without posting sentries. 15. Don't sleep beyond dawn. Dawn's when the French and Indians attack. 16. Don't cross a river by a regular ford. 17. If somebody's trailing you, make a circle. Come back onto your tracks and ambush the folks that aim to ambush you. Sound advice. I would recommend that you think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're beginning to understand that the contract with America ain't all it's cracked up to be, just like I told you. And what's happening is just what I told you was going to happen. And tonight, we're going to open the phones for the rest of the hour. For all of you new listeners, the number is 602-337-2524. Let's hear from you. What do you think about all of this? What do you think about what you've been hearing on the Hour of the Time? What do you think about what's going on in Washington? If you've got any questions, anything that you want to say, now's your time. You can make an impact on everyone that's listening around the world. You can say something that makes people think or educates people or educates you. You can ask questions that will illumine the dark shadows way back in the corners where the cockroaches lie. Or you can make a complete, utter fool of yourself. It's up to you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Phil from Linwood.
Hello, Phil.
I called to make a fool out of myself.
Go ahead. Everybody should be able to make a fool out of themselves at least once in their life.
So what did you think of that resolution the Senate passed?
You mean the House passed?
Right.
Well, it hasn't passed until it gets through the Senate. It's just passed the House. I think if it goes all the way through, it's exactly what I said would happen. It's another piece of destruction aimed at the Bill of Rights.
Well, I've been experiencing the good faith of the Linwood Sheriff out here in L.A. County for years. And it's only because of the exclusionary rule that I've been able to stay out of jail. Because they fabricate lies all the time.
Yes, they do. In fact, everyone connected with the legal system knows that the people who lie the most in the courts are the police.
Yeah, that's one thing you can depend on.
That's a fact.
Biggest liars in the world.
That's a fact also.
Thank you, Bill, for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. And you did not make a fool out of yourself. 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper. This is Rick down here in Kentucky. And I hope I'm not making a fool out of myself. But I just see a distinct difference between us and the Chechens, being that the Chechens are in a geographical location themselves, and their enemies in another geographical location. And in the United States, we're all spread out, and even between all of us, I don't even know if any two would agree. What about that?
I bet it's the same way in Chechnya. I bet if you got three of those guys together around a campfire at night, it'd be one hell of an argument.
Okay, I don't like to be a pessimist or anything, but the geography of it kind of bothers me.
Well, let me tell you something. If you look at the size of the United States and the number of American citizens there are who just are not going to be slaves under any circumstances.
Amen.
And then look at the number of forces they can array against us. Take heart. I mean, if 1,000 Chechnyans can kick the whole might of one of the most technologically developed military forces in the world, in fact, they claim they're number one. We claim we're number one. I claim they're both the same.
I never did see Ivan be very good at fighting anyway.
Well, they're not. They don't want to fight. They got no interest in Chechnya. They're there because somebody told them to go there, and if they don't go there, they're going to jail. That's the only reason they're there.
Okay.
And that's the only reason the people who will be arrayed against us will be there, because there's nobody in this world gets goosebumps when the UN flag marches by in a parade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome. And remember, folks, don't ever, ever step on a battlefield thinking in your heart that you're going to lose, because if you do, you will. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes.
Howard from Philadelphia.
Hello, Howard.
I don't know if anybody has brought this up to you or not, this Conference of the States. You'll have to forgive me, I just tuned in and I heard you open up the phone lines and I figured...
We talked about it two nights last week.
Okay. Do you know that Pennsylvania has resolutions in both the House and the Senate? I don't believe that it has passed in either one of them. How similar is this to a con? We've been trying to figure this out locally.
Well, there are those of us who believe that if they want it to be a con, it is, because the states sending representatives, you see, this is exactly the same thing that they did back in the founding of this country, when the states sent delegates to Philadelphia to improve the Confederation. And what they had then were known as the Articles of Confederation.
Hey, let me ask you a hard question then.
Sure.
If when this country was founded, when they took us from the Articles of Confederation to...
They did it at that convention.
Yeah, and they surprised everybody when they came out, because they came out with this federal constitution.
Yeah.
But is there any basis now in law for them to go back and do the same thing? In other words...
Yes, it's a contract between the federal government and the states. If all the states have representatives, they can do whatever they want. It is a constitutional convention. They don't have to call it that. They can call it whatever they want. But the states can amend their contract with the permission of the federal government anytime they want.
Well, I was under the impression that a con was supposed to have been called by the people. That was where it was supposed to get its basis in law.
Were you a party to the contract?
To this one?
To any of them?
No.
That's right. So how can you call it?
Well, and that's exactly my point. And I have been talking myself blue in the face, and I've put this all over the Internet as well. And what I found is that it's not gathering a lot of attention.
No, because most of the people you're talking to are sheeple. That's why you don't find me on the Internet. I can't find anybody on the Internet who wants to do anything except hide behind a computer and strike out at the world.
Well, there is some use for the Internet. I run a...
What? I haven't found any yet. Can you verify the authenticity of any file that you download?
I'm sorry?
Can you verify the authenticity of any file that you download?
Listen, I get faxes daily, and I have to, you know, it took me 5 phone calls to 5 different legislators in Pennsylvania to get some verification, because everyone that I talked to didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And it was almost, and that was the point that made me get very wary of this Conference of the States issue, because I started getting faxes.
No, I'm not talking about faxes. I'm talking about files on the Internet.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
you verify?
I don't take anything at face value.
Well, you can't, but most of the people on the Internet do. For instance, on the Internet all the time, people are talking about files this and files that, and it says in this and it says in that, and then it's baloney.
Yeah, what you have to do is, if there's a site of law, you have to actually look that site up yourself.
That's right.
And if it then exists. But I you know, while I've got the air, I'd like people to realize, call your state senators and your state congressmen and find out what they're doing. A lot of them don't even know what this is. And even if you mention the word con to them, as I did to a number of staffers in some offices, they said to me, what's that?
That's right. People tend to forget that the people who, but not everybody knows what they're talking about. When you say con here on this broadcast, just because people listen to this broadcast all the time doesn't even mean that they know what it means.
Right. It means the Constitutional Convention. The scariest part of this is that you would think that a resolution going through, I assume this is going through all the state houses of all the states at this moment. You would think that something that's going through uniformly would gather some media attention.
Are you kidding?
And I was amazed. I've been looking in the papers to see if they're even writing about it. And what I found was, and you'll note that supposedly Philadelphia is supposed to be where this is going to take place. What I found in today's Philadelphia Inquirer was one sentence. And all the sentence said was that there was a resolution going through the houses to help the states work better.
Yeah, that's what they say. But it's, I guarantee you, well, I won't guarantee you, but I believe that if it comes about, it will turn in to a complete scrapping of the Constitution and adopting of something like the new state's Constitution.
And what will be the alternative?
Well, the only alternative is if we don't want it, we go to war.
I thought that the process, when they came back, that we had to vote on it.
No. No. The Senate ratifies it. That's it.
It's not a very comforting thought.
No, it's not. All it has to do is be ratified by the Senate and voted on by the, well, it does have to be voted on by the legislature in each state. I almost forgot about that. It does have to be ratified by the states.
By the legislature, not by us.
Right, not by the people. People have nothing to do with it. It's a contract between the states and the federal government.
The problem is that the states forget where they derive their power from. It's from us.
That's correct, but they don't care.
So all you people out there who are listening, let me remind you, these are the same people that want to take away your guns.
That's right, and they will still, if they can.
Well, maybe Chechnya is something to watch and learn from.
Well, let me tell you something. Nobody wants any violence whatsoever, least of all me. I've already been through a war, and I can tell you right now it's not fun. But if they try to enslave the American people, I will have no choice. All of you out there listening, you'll have to make up your own minds. But I've had you on for way too long. Got to let you go. Thank you very much for your input. 602-337-2524. The whole reason for me writing my book and for doing these broadcasts and speaking out like I have and endangering myself as I have done, ladies and gentlemen, is to prevent violence. If we wake people up out of their slumber so that they can find out what's really happening, there has to be no need for anyone ever to get hurt, I can assure you. That's the whole reason for this. Otherwise, I wouldn't waste my breath. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
Good.
I had a question for you. I never did hear the follow-up on your case there in Phoenix. Can you go into that just for a second? How did you come out on that?
I was guilty of two misdemeanors and paid a $600 fine. No parole, no jail.
That's hunky-dory. I got to say on this...
I was extremely lucky, my friend.
Well, I'm...
The cards were stacked against me, and I won as long as I could and staved it off as long as I could, and that was the outcome.
Did you defend yourself, or did you have to hire a liar?
I defended myself until the very end, and then I hired a liar.
Hey, on this states' rights contract with the federal government, you know, I don't feel that the people have much contact with their federal representatives. But I'll tell you what, when you get down to the state representatives and the local city and county representatives, they just usually they don't care at all about us. You know, on the local level, they just go in there have more closed meetings at the local and state level than they do at the more whitewashes there at that level than they do at the federal level. You know what I mean?
My friend, they don't care about us at all. When that front page article came out from the Arizona Republic, the reaction here in St. John's was unbelievable. They called a secret meeting of the city council, and they did not invite the city councilman purposely who would be friendly to our point of view. And the outcome of that, I have no idea. I don't know what the outcome was, but I know that they discussed it. Also, nobody in this town, not from the local paper, not from the local city government, not from any of the churches, not from any of the citizens' groups, have bothered to come in here and talk to me at all. At all. The local paper ran a front-page story rebutting what the Arizona Republic said, but only from the point of view of the city of St. John's.
Let me ask you.
And listen to this. Talk about sheeple. Without talking to me, without knowing what I'm about, without ever listening to this broadcast, without reading my book, without ever hearing me speak, the people in this town, not all of them, but a good portion of them, got together and decided that since I'm not running a business here where they can buy anything, they can't hurt me. So they decided to boycott Tim's surplus store and his restaurant. Those are the good people of St. John's, Arizona. I should say the good sheeple.
I'll tell you. So what's going to be the action then?
Well, the action is what do you mean the action?
Well, are you going to maybe look for another place, or are you going to...
No, there's nothing cowardice about Bill Cooper.
Okay. Let me ask you one more question. I know you got a break. I know how you say that the right to keep and bear... I know how you feel about the right to keep and bear arms. When you form a militia, do it lawfully according to each state constitution or whatever.
Each state, and if you can't do it lawfully according to the state, do it lawfully.
States have the right to regulate carry laws, concealed carry laws, and carry laws, weapons carry laws?
No. According to the Constitution of the United States, the active clause of the second article and amendment is, and I quote, "The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." All firearms regulation, all firearms laws are unconstitutional.
I agree with you. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Good night. Got to take a break, folks. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
People, I think it's time we stop this running around. This world is going too fast and we'd like to slow it down. Don't let them talk you into doing what you don't want to. Just learn to say no and learn how to. Cause you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going smooth. The one person that you should never try to fool is you. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Hour of the Time, courtesy of Swiss America Trading. They pay for the airtime. They don't put any money in my pocket. And they do it because they believe in the message of this broadcast. They believe in this country. They believe in you. And I consider it a great, great compliment that they believe in me and what I'm trying to do. So, if you understand where we're headed and why, you know that you're going to have some real money, ultimately, and there's only one real money in the law, in the Constitution, and in the history of the world, and that's precious metals in their various forms. So I urge you to call Swiss America Trading and talk to them about some method whereby you can accumulate some real money. And if you've got some specific investment idea of your own along these lines, talk to them about that. They'll be happy to work with you. They may not agree with you, but if that's what you insist upon and it doesn't break any laws, they'll go along with you. But I would urge you to listen to them because they've been doing this a long time and they know what they're talking about. They're real good. They're real, real good. And a lot of our listeners, a lot of our people, a lot of my personal friends, and even me, folks, has done business with Swiss America Trading. When I do business with them, I do business just like you and everybody else. That's the terms of my contract with Craig Smith, is there is no favoritism here and no money goes in my pocket. They only pay for airtime. And that's to maintain the credibility of this broadcast, because if I even accepted one penny of profit in the good old American way, they'd be screaming, land shame, land shame. And I know it. And some of you would be the guilty ones doing that. A lot of people claim to be Americans, but don't really understand what America is all about.
So I urge you to call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it, folks. We'll be glad that you did. That's 1-800-289-2646. They guarantee what they do. They record everything that's said between the salespeople and the buyer. And before they ship anything to you, you're called up again, and all the terms of the sale or the investment or whatever it is that you did are taped again. And if you don't agree to it on tape, then it's not shipped. And that's so that nobody can come back and say anybody said something that wasn't said. You can't claim that they did you wrong if they didn't, and it's all on tape. And they can't claim that you said something that you didn't or that you did them wrong if it's all on tape. And besides that, I back them up 100%. If you think you've been done wrong, you call me, and I guarantee you I'll be down in Phoenix so quick, sitting on top of Craig Smith's desk, and we'll solve the problem, whatever it is, lickety-split. 1-800-289-2646. Folks, please take advantage of their goodness to the listeners of this broadcast. Tell them William Cooper sent you and that you're a regular listener to the Hour of the Time, and you'll be given red carpet treatment. I guarantee it. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You'll be glad that you did.
Of a musician, yeah, I've got some folks want to ban cars, some want to get rid of electric gift cars. Why can't everybody else leave everybody else alone? Now the latest thing they want to stamp out is violence on TV.
Well, that should be the theme song for the Constitution Party, I'm telling you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening.
You're coming in clear.
Good.
A couple blocks away from the Triangle Commons in historic Bridgehampton, New York. A quotation from our first president caught my eye, and it's shed some light on a whole other angle to this business. Could I read it?
Of course.
Men may speculate as they will. They may talk of patriotism. They may draw a few examples from ancient story of great achievements performed by its influence. But whoever builds upon it as a sufficient basis for conducting a long and bloody war will find themselves deceived in the end. I do not mean to exclude altogether the idea of patriotism. I know it exists, and I know it has done much in the present contest. But I will venture to assert that a great and lasting war can never be supported on this principle alone. It must be aided by a prospect of interest or some reward. What's in it for us, Bill?
Well, what do you value?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And
you see, you're using that word patriotism or patriot, and so was the person that you, who was it that you quoted?
That was George Washington.
Okay.
And I called him into question myself when I read it.
Well, you're using that in the sense of one's loyalty to the country. And it's always been my contention on this broadcast. You can go back and listen to every tape of
Nationalist versus Patriot.
Wait a minute. You can go back and listen to every tape that I've ever done, every broadcast that I've ever done. Whenever this subject has come up, I have always cautioned people to forget about my country, right or wrong. Forget about being loyal to boundaries. Forget about being loyal to the flag. You must be loyal to what means something to you, and in our case, in the case of real Americans, it's liberty.
Yes, sir.
And that will be our reward, to live as we wish in freedom, to have the opportunity to make of our life what we will, what we're capable of, with no restraints.
Yes.
Other than the restraint of never hurting the person or property of any other citizen.
I think that speaks well to the question before about the possible eventuality of a CONCOM, and if legally and lawfully, so to speak, our unalienable rights are removed from us.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I've also said this. If they would go about forming a world government properly, with the recognition of individual rights and the protection of those rights in that world government, I'd support it in a second. I'd get behind it. This broadcast would be devoted to it.
Absolutely, Bill. I'm for it, too. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. See, we have to be loyal to principles and ideals, ladies and gentlemen. That's what makes the world better, not boundaries. People who put a bumper sticker on their car and really mean it, my country, right or wrong, those are fools, because that's what Hitler's people said. That's what Genghis Khan's people said. That's what every tyrant in the world has ever said, you know? Don't do as I do as I say. Forgot to hang up the phone. 602-337-2524. And that was okay, because I pontificated enough on that subject. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Mike from Arizona.
Hello.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Not going to play that game, folks. 602-337-2524 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
I'm John from New Jersey.
Hello, John.
And personally, I listen to your show, and I tape your show and I play them to everybody I can to try to make them aware of what's happening. And I even have a friend of mine who's a musician, and he wanted to sample some of your quotations from your show.
Uh-huh.
Because he, you know, we feel it's a good way to get the message out to as many people as possible.
Good.
And I want you to know, Bill, that whatever happens, I personally am fanatically devoted to the Constitution of the United States. And I was taught in high school about the Constitution by my history professor, Mr. Bolivant, in high school. And I cannot believe that there is a group of evil people that are trying to steal my God-given freedoms from me. And people in this area think that I'm some kind of lunatic. And, you know, when I tell them about the Constitution, I don't even think that they realize that we have one.
No, they've been taught that the Constitution is an old, outdated document, has nothing to do with the modern age. They don't understand that their ability to live and be free and breathe and work where they want to work and travel where they want to travel all depends upon the protection given to us in that document. And when that document's gone, as it's happening now, it's being eroded away piece by piece, and when it's gone, then they're going to know.
Did I see right on C-SPAN HR 666 that removes the Fourth Amendment federal law enforcement officials want to...
No. It does not remove the Fourth Amendment, although there was an amendment to HR 666 which would have done that, but that was defeated. So the amendment was not attached. What it does is take away the exclusionary rule, and it allows police officers to conduct illegal searches and to use whatever they find in those illegal searches against whoever they want to use it against. In effect, it doesn't do away with the Fourth Article of the Amendment, but it does. You know what I'm talking about?
It damages it.
It plays with words.
Right. Well, you know, these one-world Luciferians, they've got to be out of their minds.
No, they're not.
Well,
they have a clear agenda that they believe in, and they believe that what they're doing is in the best interest of all mankind, and specifically in their best interest.
Well, their best interest, in my opinion, is satanic greed.
Well, now be careful. When you bring religion into this, you might be making a big mistake.
Well, I use it more as an adjective to describe what I perceive as evil.
Well, it's better to use the word evil than to bring religion into it. That's one thing that turns people off from listening to you. They don't want to hear that stuff. You see, they may believe in something else as far as religion goes. So if you want Americans to listen to you, you got to talk to them from the point of reason. If you're talking to them from the point of the book of Revelations, nobody's going to listen to you except somebody else that believes in it. What ultimately you're going to accomplish is you're going to talk yourself into a point of impotence, because if it's preordained in the book of Revelations, who are we to go against God? We're going to suffer, and a lot of people are going to die, and us Christians are going to be persecuted, but Jesus is going to come and save us.
Well, one of my main personal offenses to all this is that, you know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been the laws that I've my whole life tried to apply to my life in this society. And I view what they're trying to create for us as Hitler-style fascism.
You're exactly right. You've got it right, nailed right on the head. That's exactly what I've been telling people for years.
And, you know, I think that people should be made aware, by implication, I think that they're going to have to dig mass graves in this country to bury the people that they feel don't want to serve this new world order.
You're right.
I don't believe that their intentions for us are good intentions. When they try to disarm us, and I read your book, Behold the Pale Horse, about the AIDS virus and MK Naomi.
Uh-huh. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say anything about a virus.
All right.
I didn't say anything about HIV in that book.
Right.
In fact, in that book and in every speech I've ever given and in every radio broadcast I've ever done, I have made it clear that I do not know what causes AIDS, but I do know that according to the documents that I saw under Project MK Naomi, they were injected into the population, whatever it is.
Okay, well, you know, if I could just say one more thing. You know, if we, and I'm sure we're going to defeat these people, you know, I think that you deserve a lot of credit.
I don't want any credit. I just want liberty for my children and for me and my wife so that we can live out our old age in freedom.
Well, I just want to, you know, publicly take an oath that I'm going to do whatever I can to defend the Constitution of the United States.
Well, just remember, if anything better ever comes along, and it really is better, we should go to it, whatever it is. But we have to be careful because our enemies play with words in ways that we don't always understand.
And their words have different meanings.
That's right. That's why we have to be very careful. But remember, don't be loyal to boundaries. Don't be loyal to a document. Be loyal to principles and ideals. You can be loyal to that document as long as it's the best that's ever been created, and to this date it is.
I haven't seen anything better.
I haven't either.
And I think you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Good night.
Bye.
602-337-2524. In fact, folks, in the little article that was put out in the little St. John's paper here, somebody that the lady talked to, she never came and talked to me, but somebody she talked to said that I'm an unremarkable person. See, I've always told you that I'm no different than anybody out there listening. I just happen to catch on early and do my homework. That's all. I'm just like all of you. No different, no better. Just down home folk. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know what your opinion is of this 10th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States and how or what its relationship is to the Conference of the States.
Well, I'm not sure I know what you mean by relationship to the Conference of the States.
Well, some people are saying that the 10th Amendment resolution, which really doesn't have any power, is kind of a forerunner for getting people's attention, leading them to be favorable to the Conference of the States.
Well, the Conference of the States has nothing to do with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution.
I know it doesn't.
Whatsoever. Anybody who would fall for that doesn't know what's going on. They haven't read the 10th Amendment and don't understand.
Okay, well, what about this 10th Amendment resolution, state sovereignty resolution? What do you think about that?
I've said over and over again, the reason why you haven't heard any shows about it here is very simply because a resolution has no force of law. I don't care how many states pass a resolution, it doesn't do any good. And they don't have to pass a resolution. It's already a part of the Constitution. For God's sake, it's the 10th Amendment. You can't get any higher than that.
Well, this is the position that some people are taking, that it doesn't really have any power, this resolution.
The resolution doesn't, you're right.
Except that it grabs people's attention and puts it on states' rights, which then sort of leads them into being in favor of this conference of the states.
Well, you see, that's all deception, and it's only for the sheeple. Real people who understand what they read know that if it's not prohibited to the states by the Constitution, that everything not granted to the federal government belongs to the states or to the people. You don't need any resolutions. You don't need any baloney about the 10th Amendment or anything else. It is in the hands of the states and of the people.
That this 10th Amendment resolution really is worthwhile, worth wasting your time on.
Not for me.
Okay.
So what if you pass a resolution? What good does it do?
Kind of what I've thought, too.
Yeah. If you can't take your power that you already have, according to the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, what good is passing a resolution?
Then I wonder why so many people are promoting that.
Because they're sheeple, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for calling. That was a very good question and comment from you, and I'm very glad that you called, because I probably wouldn't have touched on that. You see, I tend to ignore the sheeple stuff unless it comes up here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, calling from the Virgin Islands.
Well, welcome.
And our front page, again, it's published the local newspaper today, our new police commissioner, who recently quit his customs job in Washington to take the appointment. But in his fight against the drug trafficking down here, he will be bringing in resources that he has contact with through his tour in Washington. And there will be military, some of who will be in foreign uniforms, and didn't want the populace to be alarmed and think they were being invaded by the Russians.
No, they're not. They're being invaded by the United Nations.
So I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Thank you very much. By the way, if he was in customs, which also Lars Hansen was in customs, that's a part of the Treasury Department, which is a branch of the International Monetary Fund, which is an agency of the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen. And that's really what the BATF is all about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill Cooper.
Yes.
Oh, sir, I'm glad to talk to you.
What can I do for you?
I'd like to talk about your sheeple issue, sir.
Go.
I don't know. I'm obviously an observer of human behavior. This is the issue that really just grabs me by the throat. Is that what I really believe is people aren't so much physically lazy anymore. They're mentally lazy.
Well, you're right, but it's not
100%. I want to think. They'll give up their money, their time, their energy, anything that maybe they should have or society tells them to value. They'll give that up just to let other people do their thinking for them.
That's right.
And I believe that, you know, of course, what separates us from plants, minerals, animals, everything else is our ability to think.
No, it's not up. No, according to science, it's our thumb.
Well, I would think there's a few neuron connections up top that would...
Well, the first time I read that thumb bit, I thought, hey...
You know, yeah, I think we're, you know...
Something awry here.
Too physical here, you know?
Yeah.
I think chemical and everything else is very intrinsic to the human being. But, no, the sheeple issue, I think, is key, because nobody's going to wake up. Nobody's going to realize it.
Ah, but you're wrong. If you could have been standing beside me when I started this quest of mine, you would have known that you're wrong.
Well, I wish I wasn't wrong, you know, but I want hope, but when you're dealing with sheeple, there's not much hope.
Well, there is. You see, all through history, it's never changed. There's always the people who will think and who will act and who will do the right thing.
And not
there's always the force that opposes them. And then there's always this huge mass of sheeple in the middle that outnumbers both sides put together, who are really the flotsam and jetsam on the tides of life. They go whichever way the tide goes. Have you ever been down to the beach and see the stuff that washes up on the shore?
Oh.
When the tide goes out, some of it goes out with the tide, and some of it comes back in, and some of it just disappears and goes with the current to Japan. That's the sheeple.
That is, truly.
They've been that way throughout history, and they'll be that way through into the future.
But I think, as history tells us, though, the sheeple are a major factor in any outcome.
Not really.
Battles.
No, they're at the mercy of the outcome.
But I think their positioning before the battle is critical.
Well, that's why the enemy has learned to use propaganda, because if they can bring the
maneuvering of the sheeple, of the mass.
Right.
And if you have the mass on your side, most times you win.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
No, that's not true. That is not true. But it is a great burden on the victor, because the victor usually has to feed and clothe and take care of the sheeple who washed up on the beach.
That goes with the booty that he wins as well, you know, his objective.
Well, it depends upon all. Anyway, this is all rhetoric, but I think we've got our points across. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, folks, another night has gone by. Now, I want you to do something for me. The Constitution Party is thinking about sponsoring a march on Washington sometime in September. Now, we're not going to do this if nobody wants to go. In other words, if nobody gives a damn anymore, we're not going to waste the effort. And I, quite frankly, if I ever find out that nobody gives a damn, I will just pack everything up and take my wife and daughter and go to my little hilltop and do what I have to do, and to hell with everybody else. We're planning this in September. If you are hearing it in enough time to save enough money and dedicate yourself to going to protest the destruction of the Constitution and demand a restoration, then I want you to send me a letter. And I want you to tell me that you'll go. If you're not going to go, don't bother sending me a letter. All I want is to know who will go in September. You've got ample warning, plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to save money, plenty of time to tell your boss you want some time off. So you can't say that you didn't have enough warning. So I want to know how many people will go. And if we get enough of a response, we're going to go ahead with it. If we don't get any response, folks, then we're not. We're not going to waste our breath or our time. We're going to go about doing what we know will be effective. I'm not going to go to Washington again and have only 1,500 people show up like we did with Project 94, DB Kids' effort to protest the Federal Reserve. If nobody cares, there's no sense in even doing it. Good night, and God bless you all. If you want to be one of the ones who march in Washington in September, send me a letter now or a postcard. P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, just like it sounds, Arizona 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona 85901. The address will be repeated again at the end of the show.
You can make it bigger than life. Hear me.